There we go. Good morning. All right. Glad that everybody can make it out tonight, those are in person and online. So we're going to be wrapping up a 6-week long series. Well, he said who I was, but I'm Darius Hubbard, one of the pastors here at Antioch. Before I jump into it, which I believe most of you know who I am, if not everybody. So we're going to be ending a 6 weeks long series on a series called Lord, Teach Us to Pray, based off of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Just a little background before we jump into it. If you look at Matthew chapter 5 through 7, we find Jesus really teaching on what it's like to live out the kingdom of God. And he's teaching and he's discussing subjects from what it's like to be the salt and light of the world to anger and divorce. And where we pick up is in the middle of that in chapter 6, where the disciples actually come to him and ask him to teach them to pray. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to go a little further back than where we've been focused on verses 9 through 13. I'm going to start back at verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, he gives the Lord's Prayer as a guide to kingdom-focused prayer for the disciples. By looking at God, and then he shows them how to look towards their struggles and to our needs. Today we're going to be focused on the last half of verse 13, but deliver us from evil. And we're going to be discussing the Father's protection, or as they use, deliverance. And we're going to answer this question: as kingdom-minded followers, what does the Father commit to us when we pray for his protection? And what are we responsible for? And doing this, you're going to hear me kind of interchange with the word. I'm going to use them interchangeably, the word protection and deliverance, but I'm going to be meaning the same thing either way. The topic of ours is the Father's protection. So when asking for the Father's deliverance or protection, we're asking him to commit to something. I think of my own children, which I have a lot. I got 5. And when I think of them, when my kids come to me and they ask me a question, they want me to give them an answer. But if you know my kids, they just don't want me to say yes. And in particular, my youngest 2 children, my 8-year-old, my 6-year-old, they have their baby voice that they pull out. So when they come and ask me a question and I can see my older kids, they'll say, "Dad, can we have this?" I'll say yes. They'll walk away. But when my younger 2 children come to me, they both have the same thing, but it's a little different. My 8-year-old, he'll change from dad to papa when he wants something, and he wants me to get up and do something. And my youngest, I'll go from dad to dada. And so typically when they use those phrases, they're not saying, "Dad, I want you to say yes to me having this." It's, "Dad, I want you to get up and do something for me." So it's a particular thing. And I think that's similar what Jesus might be teaching us is, hey, when we're praying to God, use your baby voice. Ask him to get up and do something. And so we're going to be looking at that a little more in depth. So the word deliverance here in Matthew 6 and 13 comes from the Greek word. I didn't study Greek, so I might not pronounce it correctly. Is ruomai. And it means to draw to oneself, to rescue, to deliver. Here I believe Christ is showing us something with this specific word. When we ask the Father for deliverance, we're asking him to take a purposeful action to draw us to himself. And so if God is drawing us to himself, he got to be drawing us away from something else. I think it's connected to what was said before. If we look at the entire verse in Matthew chapter 6 and 13, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if the word deliverance means God is drawing us to himself, he's drawing us away from something else, which is temptation. It's connected to what Andy has spoke about last week. Andy explained to us that temptation here means putting to test, approving of something. It's not always linked to a desire to do evil. He also explained how God does not tempt man with evil, but he does allow his children to go through a period of testing, a period of proving for refining purposes. In light of this, we need to answer the question then, what is the Father's commitment to us when we pray for his protection and deliverance? If we look out through, search through scripture, there is a multitude of scripture verses that talks about God's commitment to answer prayer and deliver his children. Scripture giving us reassurance and saying that he shall, he will, or even he has delivered. Praying for the Father's protection is more than just asking him to keep us from physical harm. Based off of that word, it's connected to something deeper. It God's delivering us or protection to us, it gives us an insurance, not just from the physical assaults of the enemy, but from the spiritual, the mental, the emotional assaults of the enemy. It gives us a peace of mind and heart so that we not be overcome by the assaults of the enemy. With this intent, the Father deliverance, it meant to draw us into a deeper relationship with him. Philippians 4 teaches us that as we take our prayers and our supplications and our requests to God, he will act in a purposeful way. What is that way? Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Guard in Philippians 4:7 comes from the Greek word phureo, meaning to guard, to protect by military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight, to watch and guard, to preserve one for the attainment of something. We see here that God's protection is a purposeful action, not only to guard us, but for that we attain something. This something is the peace of God. And it's something that we get by his deliverance. The peace of God is security and safety. And it's joy, that even through trials, we can have joy. The Father is committed to giving us this. And it protects our hearts and our minds beyond our ability to understand. And God has already lived up to that commitment through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. By us placing our faith in Jesus, he gives us this peace. He gives us a peace that through faith in him, we can be reassured of salvation and safety from the enemy. And for what purpose? Luke 1:74 says this, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemy might serve him without fear. So if God is committed to giving us peace and committed to delivering us, then we must ask ourselves a question. We must ask the question, what are we responsible for as kingdom-minded people? Throughout the Bible, we can see that God's commitment to his people, but we also see him holding his people to something as well. Scripture such as James chapter 4 reminds us that as requesters of God, we hold not only a relational responsibility to him, but we also hold a moral responsibility to God. So there are two ways that come to mind when we think about what is our responsibility as kingdom-minded believers asking God for his protection. The first thing that comes to mind is, kingdom-minded followers are responsible for putting their hearts in the right place. And we do this by loving and giving our hearts to God. Matthew 22:37 tells us this. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." What does that mean, loving God with all your heart? Loving God with all your hearts mean living a life that's for Him. That's a faith-filled life, a driven life for purpose. This requires us getting out of the way and letting God take the lead. The Word of God constantly reminds us that God wants to receive us who has a heart that's open to Him. So when we even have a hard time, God comes in our life, and when our heart is open to Him, we feel protected from evil and we feel delivered. When our hearts are in the right place, we have no issue submitting to God, nor trusting in God in undesirable times. And God honors that. Psalms 37 and 4 through 5 tells us this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. The world is filled with heartache and sin that will come not only to tempt us, but sin also comes to assault us, sometimes physically, mentally, emotionally. But when our hearts are fixed in the Lord, we may grieve, but God is our guard, and He offers His peace as we focus on Christ, and that gives us reassurance. Christ in John 16 and 33 tells us this. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So as kingdom-minded people asking God for His protection, our hearts must be in the right place, and that heart is over to Him. What is the second way, thing that we are responsible for as kingdom-minded people? The second thing is, kingdom-minded followers are responsible for putting their minds in the right place. Scripture reminds us time and time again that a lot of the Christian life is built up about our minds. The word mind occurs 108 times in 101 verses in the Bible. So clearly it's an important thing. Such a scripture like in Romans 12, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And scripture like Isaiah speaks of how God keeps us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on Him. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What you have learned and received and heard, seen in Me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I think Philippians teaches us three things about putting our minds in the right place. The first thing that Philippians 4 and 8 teaches us about putting our minds in the right place is we put our minds in the right place by focusing on what is right. What is focusing on what is right? Focus on what is right is giving our attention to the things that are true, which help us avoid lies. Andy reminded us that last week about how when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did He do? He didn't focus on the lies of the enemy. He focused on the Word of God. There's nothing more truer than the Word of God. It helped us repel the lies of the enemy. So Jesus is our perfect example of focus on the things that is right, and that's the Word of God. Focus on the things that are true. The second thing that we see that Philippians teaches us is the way that we put our mind in the right place is by thinking of what is right. Thinking of what is right is thinking about the things rather than the things that bring us anxiety, stress, that bog us down. We focus on the things of God's kingdom. What is those things? Philippians 4 and 8 said, it put it in four different categories. It said things that are true and honest. Things that are true and honest, we kind of discussed that. There's things that are bring about truth. Truth of the word, truth of engaging with people. Truth of behavior. That's what God is teaching us about. Jesus was just teaching about the kingdom, about our words, about how we behave, about how we interact, the salt and the light. Thinking about those things that are right is focusing on these things that are true and honest, things that are just and pure, are those things that are fair-minded, without impurity. We're focusing on those things of justice. We're going to be doing a video series. Those are the things that are pure and true and just. Like, how can I do right by my brothers and sisters in the world? Those are the things that we should be focusing on. The things that are lovely and of good report are things that create friendliness and good in the world. How can I say, serve the neighborhood around me? What things can I do that are lovely and of good report? Things that are excellent and worthy. Those are the things that bring about godly standards. These things are mental food for our mind. They feed us and help us focus on the things that are right. The last thing we see that Philippians teaches us is, how do we put our mind in the right place? Is by practicing the things that are right. It's not only good to think about these things and say these things, we have to practice them. The truth is of no value if it's not put into practice. It's just simple knowledge. The Bible teaches us wisdom is things that are lived out and that are practiced. And we find that in scripture, like James talks about being doers of the words and not hearers only. Philippians is reminded us, as we think about the things that are right, as we say these things that are right, and as we practice these things, that peace that God is committed to giving to us, we can receive that. And it guards our hearts and minds so we are delivered from the enemy and we are drawn closer to God and away from temptation. Meditating on these things, on these good things, and the word of God roots us in the kingdom. It gives us kingdom-mindedness so that we may not be swayed by the enemy. Psalms 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 tells us this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in all that he does, he prospers. God has given us practical ways to be kingdom-minded and to draw us into a deeper relationship with him, draw us closer to him. The purpose of deliverance is to deliver us out of temptation, deliver us out of the hand of the enemy, and deliver us into the hand of God, deliver us closer to him. It's like when we think about fast food. We order food because we want it to come from one destination to its place we want to receive it, and we want to eat it. There's a purpose. God is delivering us from temptation to deliver us into our destination, which is closer to him, and us feeding on the word of God, feeding on these good things, these things that keep us kingdom-minded. He is guiding us closer to him, and that is the purpose of his protection and deliverance. His protection sometimes might protect us from physical assaults from the enemy, but not always. But we can always count on, as I focus on God, as I focus on his word, we can trust that we will be delivered and our hearts and our mind will be protected. I may be hurting, I may be grieving, but scripture reminds us joy is coming in the morning. Because why? I'm focused on what is true, what is good, what is kingdom-minded. So we must remember, as kingdom-minded followers, praying for the Father's protection, the Father commits to taking purposeful action to deliver us from evil. And we are responsible for putting our hearts and our minds in the right place by focusing and loving on him and focusing on his word and what is good and what is true. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this prayer, Lord, your kingdom-minded prayer that you use to guide us into a closer relationship with you. Guide us away from our struggles, away from our temptations, away from the enemy, Lord. We ask us that you give us a kingdom mind, that we focus on what is true, that we focus and we think about what is good, Lord. We think about your word, and that not only that, Lord, we put it into practice. We ask that you continue to guide us and lead us in all truth. In Jesus' holy name, amen.